Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we left off. We'll pick it up at verse 9. I believe that's where we left off at verse 9. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's explaining to them the wisdom of God. And the Corinthians were the question of, yes?
We left off at verse 10 the past 2 weeks. Now we're back to 9.
Well, first,
okay, verse 10. We'll go back and
recap.
Wait a minute. Yes. You got something to say. Let's say it.
We'll just get a, we'll go back and get a running start.
Okay. Sound like what happened last week.
Right. We got a running start and okay. we got tripped up. But we'll get a,
this is a preview.
A review.
Review.
But you know what? I do that because it helps sometimes when you cover some things and you kind of get off of the theme, and by the time you get back to it, it's always good to keep in mind why Paul was writing to the Corinthians and what their problem was. They were putting Paul up against the false apostles at Corinth. They were putting God's wisdom that Paul had up against worldly wisdom that they had been, they had grown up in it. You know, it's hard to, if you've believed things for so long, it's hard for somebody to just come along and all of a sudden you just change.
Right.
That's why the religious system has a hard time now is, you mean to tell me that we've been doing this for 50 years? And now you're telling me that this is not right?
Everybody thinks everybody's right. So
and everybody. But what eliminates that is you have to have somebody or some instruction that you default to as the authority. Somebody has to have the last word. And Paul is saying, I got this revelation from God to you. And that's a fundamental statement where he says we speak the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of men, not the wisdom of this system, the wisdom of men, world, and the words. He said we speak the wisdom of God. I got it from God to give to you. Now you might think that's really simple. But I was in a Sunday school Sunday where they were back in Haggai trying to make Haggai, who's a prophet to Israel, trying to make Haggai what he said fit us today.
Sad.
It won't work. You know why it won't work? Not because I said it won't work. Because Haggai is a prophet to who?
To Israel.
I don't care how you read it. It still is not to you. You may go back there and read it and you get some education about what God did back there, what God prophesied to come. But when you go to put it on your life,
It don't fit.
It won't fit. It don't fit. It can't fit. You know, people always, well, you put God in the box. No. God put himself in that box. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Well, you're talking about the God of the universe. Right. He can do anything. No, there are some things that God has said that he won't do. He can do, but he won't do.
He made the rules, so
He
never flooded the earth with water again.
That's, you know what? That's one thing right there.
He wasn't here with me sitting out in that parking lot.
So, but it's, you know, remember you showed me that, Annette showed me a picture. She showed us all a picture of, it was a cross that fell on a adult bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
And it happened again, didn't it? It happened twice. Oh, no, it was one time. You showed me a picture and you said, do you think this is a coincidence? And sure it was.
Yeah.
So if think about this, if God, if he wanted to do that, Do you think he can do more than one at a time?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he could just wipe them all off the place if he wanted.
He could. He could blow them up or whatever. But there's, and that's the thing, is that's what's great about Scripture is this. When God has left us without excuse, where he's given us his word and his will, and he has recorded it and preserved it and put it in a book, and there's, you know how we talk about, I don't know how they missed that. Like, how did they not know that Jesus was the Christ? And they went every week into the synagogue and read about him.
I think they knew it. They just didn't want to admit to it.
And see, that's the bottom line, is there's, you can't excuse the fact that some people have other agendas that are not in line with God's agenda.
That's right.
And they want things for themselves that God doesn't want for them.
Right.
So we get here in a second. Let me give you an example. This is what I'm thinking of. Okay. I'll pick one that we all have a problem with. Just is healing. When the minute you say, listen, if God tells you how this body is going down, right? Mm-hmm. He says the outward man perishes. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Now I ask you this. Can God heal?
Sure.
That's what
it
says.
Let me ask you this. Don't answer it right away either. Give yourself 5 seconds to think about it. Does God heal today?
I'd say yes.
See, I said give yourself 5 seconds to think about it. So you say...
I'd say yes.
You say yes. You say no. Some people say if he wants to.
Well, that's a good answer too.
So that's all three.
Yeah, that's the thing is, I always looked at it like he does things, but it's not like the old school, like where it's like he's not using it as an example, like to prove anything. It's like, you know, between prayer and maybe, you know, it's just hard. That's one of those things you just never know.
So can I clarify my
and see that you said no?
Well, I was thinking you were wanting a yes or a no, and I would say yes. God certainly can heal, and he probably does. But we're to be guided by faith.
Not by sight. Yeah.
All right.
And so if something like that happened in our lives, we could be thankful and joyful. But we can't go around saying, "Look at me, God healed me," because that would be a bad testimony.
Well, the only reason I say that is because, like I said, everybody, if you ask 10 believers, will have 10 different answers. But this I know. This I know. This we know. Is when you read it, he says, this is what's happening to your body. In Romans, he said this, we are waiting. We are groaning right now. And the creation, the whole creation, you know that water? We're groaning and waiting. We're waiting for the redemption of our bodies. So that's telling me that when it's time for him to redeem it, he said it won't be in pristine condition. It's going what?
It's going down. Might help you a little, but you're not. Yeah.
He says going down. If he's helping me a little,
he's helping you downwards.
He's helping me down, right? And he said this: it's sown in weakness. It's sown in corruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's a mess, right? It's going. He said, this is what I'm telling you about this. And your apostle, your very apostle says this. Something happened to me. And if God will heal, I'm just paraphrasing. If God will heal anybody, as speaking as Paul would, if God will heal anybody,
he would heal me,
surely. So I asked him to heal me. I asked him to remove this. And
he didn't. No answer.
No answer. He got no answer. And I asked again. And no answer. So I asked one more time. And he said unto me, I can heal you if I want to.
Okay, I'll take that.
He didn't say that, did he? He said, my what? My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What do you mean? What does God mean by that? He said, when you've reached the end of your rope, you come into me, which is, that's where, he said, that's where I perfect my strength, is when you run out of yours. So as long as you think you can do it, then you know what? You're not dependent on me. You're not finding your comfort in me. You're not finding your strength in me. You're not finding your contentment in me. You know, in verse in Corinthians, he said this. He says, in 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, he said, well, we had a struggle and we were pressed beyond measure. He said it was so bad that we didn't look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now he's saying, he has a lot of words there. He says, what I go through is for you. Whether I'm comforted, it's for you to learn. He said, the things that, when Paul writes, he's writing about his experiences and how he learned to depend on God. And he writes it so when we read it, guess what we can do? We learn to what? Depend on God for his mercy and his comfort.
So he said, I'll comfort you in your tribulation. He didn't say I would take it away or heal you or anything.
Okay.
And it's interesting because Paul writes about the Old Testament saying that what was written aforetime was written for your learning. But what he wrote was written in the past for our learning.
And for you to see not only what he did for Paul, but Paul is writing it down where you won't expect some things. He wrote some things in the Old Testament that Paul's writing now. He says, well, he says, I'm telling you about right now for you. I can't tell you about David for you, but I can tell you about what he did for me. And when he wrote this, he wrote these epistles by revelation. That means that what God wanted in here, Paul wrote down.
To you word.
For us word. Right.
The healing thing, you always, anytime you hear someone like in the hospital, like young or old, especially like if they're older, you know, and they just keep hanging on and they get better, it's like you always hear that kind of like, God's keeping around for a reason. And not saying it's not, but half the time it just, a lot of those kind of like little sayings that people say just seem like it's just a Hallmark card or a, you know.
God's got plans for me.
You're like, especially the people who are on breathing machine and things, you're like, they can't even feed themselves. Not saying they can't affect somebody, but it's one of those things where you're just kind of like, it just, you know.
It sounds crude,
overused.
But
yeah.
But see, those are things that most people dismiss. Because for every five that say, God healed me, there's 20 that die.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this verse. And it said that, he says, he didn't say he would deliver you, but we'll look at this verse. He says this, verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Now, he goes on to talk about, and he delivered, and he will deliver. Well, that's for Paul writing about his experience. But when you think about this, is when you have to, when we talk about being strong in his grace, that doesn't mean that you pray that God will do some things that are against his written word. It's already written how we are going down.
Mm-hmm. It's El Samigo.
It's unless you're born, you're dying.
That's, you know what? And like J.C. O'Hare said, the death rate is still one apiece. Nobody in here is going to cheat death. If the Lord tarries, we will all have our time. But we can't, like he told the Thessalonians, is that we should not sorrow as others who have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we have for hope the helmet of salvation, where he's promised us that we have salvation right now. Just like, you know what? Just as sure as I got this wallet in my, well, it ain't in my pocket. This paper in my pocket, we have salvation. Because he said, if we trust him, he would give us eternal life as a gift. I believe that. So I also believe this. He said that this body will be sown in weakness. And I believe this too. If, like my grandmother, I use her all the time. She was sick. And my grandmother, she's a praying woman. Mm-hmm. What I like about God is he said, you can ask me for anything you want to.
She's a prayer warrior.
She was a praying woman, and she hurt for 7 years. I mean hurt. And she's praying to God all the time, praying to God. Finally, you know what she did?
She had a knee replaced.
She went to the doctor. And the doctor said,
what took you so long?
Basically, he said, you have to have this surgery. Nothing will change. So in those 7 years, what do you think she was praying for?
For that surgery.
A miracle.
Praying the Lord would. And when the doctor, you know what? The doctor did the surgery. Everything's good. And she got out. And you know what she said?
Thank you, Lord.
She said.
Thank you, Lord.
She said, I was sick on my deathbed. Because you're taking all those drugs and it's killing you.
Yeah.
She was hallucinating. She couldn't get out of the bed. She was in that much pain. And she said, I was dying, and the Lord raised me up. I'm not going to argue with her about that.
Yeah.
Because I know if she had not had that knee surgery,
she'd still be laying in that bed.
She'd still be laying in that bed. And besides that, besides what he has written, that we, you know, you have to come to grips with this. Besides that, I know that if God was going to heal, I say this, if God was going to heal, you know what? I would expect him to heal like my grandmother, people that I know, people that you know that they're sincere,
yeah.
People that
sincere.
somebody like Paul that's dedicating their whole life to pleasing and doing for the Lord.
That's
and sharing
right,
them.
Right. You see what I'm saying? But I do understand how we have that idea. But most people who, you know what, they say, you know what, we'll get back over here, I promise. They say that, and it's been instrumental. Like they've been Annette, Ed and Annette. Ed needed a kidney. I'm sure he prayed about that kidney, and he can tell you better than I can his experience. And he might say, Lord, I need a kidney. And bam, Annette's a match. Now, you can say, well, God sent Annette to Ed. Well, they're already together, right? You're already with that kidney. Who gave Ed the kidney?
God did.
Technically.
Which is the point that I was going to bring up next is this. Even like we pray for things, how God will meet our needs today, this is what I believe, that he'll meet it through his word. He'll give you comfort through his word, or it'll be instrumental through another believer.
It'll work maybe through her, or just in love. I mean, just all of it kind of works together.
Well, it's because if we're to have the mind of Christ, and so if we're all operating from that foundation, then we're all kind of already moving in the same direction together, and it's more likely that convergence to happen.
There's things that happen where,
yeah.
right. You're always looking to meet the necessity of the saints, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, financial.
Probably why we're not supposed to forsake the gathering of ourselves.
That's the
building up the edification
about the local assembly. That's all that goes together. Anyway, I just said that because we were getting along that line, but. Back to the bottom line for us is to, when we come to his word, it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes about where we think the outcome is less than desirable. But you know what Paul said? He said, it's necessary, I'm paraphrasing this, he says, it's necessary for me to stay here in the flesh for you. But he said, for me, he said, I'd rather depart to be with Christ, which is far better.
Yeah.
That takes a certain kind of mindset to think like that, doesn't it? Because
yeah.
I want to stay here as long as I can.
But his motivation was, like you've been saying lately, is, you know, it's important to God, therefore it's important to Paul. Because ultimately, Paul just wanted to please his Lord.
And he, you know what? He did. He didn't, as far as written, he didn't think about, Lord, I need you to heal me. He prayed for other people who labored with him. So anyway,
yeah.
Back to 1 Corinthians. And the reason I say that is because, like I said, it's one thing for something very simple, like Paul is our apostle, to know that, think about, you know, almost 80% of the problems that churches have is because they reject him,
mm-hmm.
Paul. And that's something very simple. Don't you think so? You say, listen, you're a Gentile. God sent the apostle to you, the apostle to the Gentiles, whose name is Paul. He wrote 13 books for you. You think, oh, okay, great. I'll look at those 13 books. But they go over here and they'll grab something out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and say, the Lord said this. And you say, I just told you that Paul was your apostle. Yeah, but you're putting him over Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
It's almost like that they treat like the way that he wrote to, you know, the Gentiles as something that, you know, we shouldn't, almost the exact opposite. Like, we should look at the Old Testament versus the New. In certain areas.
Yeah.
They just pick the...
I mean, it is ironic where the very thing that's for them, they don't spend any time in. Mm-hmm. And we go outside and try to find things that the Lord, you know, ask for what you want, and he'll give it to you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, asking and believing, he'll do it. How many times do you think you hear that on, okay, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. He said this, that's why Paul said, he said, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. And his goal is to make us perfect. I don't mean perfect like sinless perfect, but perfect in our spiritual understanding, in our in our edification, in our comprehension of spiritual things. And how you get perfect or mature is over.
You read the word.
Is over time, time and application, where you take it right, take it in, and you can say, you know what? 5 years ago, you probably didn't think the way you think today.
No, I mean easily. Looking back, you're just kind of like. You know, I still don't feel like I've grown much, but you look back and you're like, it's amazing what you used to think. And
that's right. You know what that's called? Growth.
Yeah, spiritual growth. Yeah.
It's called growth. Yeah, I got up Sunday, and it had been a while since I had been to this particular place. And I got up Sunday, and I put on a pair of pants. Guess what, Frank?
They didn't fit.
They didn't fit.
They weren't familiar with that language.
You know what? I knew, right. I knew there was some growth that had taken place.
And didn't know it.
So, you know what? But Paul said in verse 9, he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, you know, when you can ask a man, this is, he says, are you saved? Say, yeah, I'm saved. How'd you get saved? And he'll tell you how he got saved, his death, his burial, resurrection, I believe that. And then ask him, what'd you get when you got saved?
I got a check in the mail.
That's, tell me, you know, there's a whole slew of things, but just tell me five things you got when you got saved.
That joy in your heart. You felt closer to God.
Justification.
You believed that you were saved. That's justification.
Salvation.
And see that, and that's fine. I'm not saying to do it right now.
No realness.
But
is there?
Well, there's.
Yeah. I mean, what exact category you have to?
There's some things that he's done for us, like Paul said in Ephesians. He said, "Blessed be God who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." And you say, "Okay, just give me a few." And it's more of a, like Paul said. He says. He says, is there not a wise man among you who could, well, and he said mature, is there not a mature believer among you who could discern between these things? But what it's a challenge. It's not a criticism. It's for him that he says, these are things that if God has done these things, he says, this is what I want you to know, to be mature. Wouldn't it be nice to know, if you met somebody, you can say, they say, why should I trust your Savior? Why should I? What has he ever done for you? You can't rattle off material things. I mean, you can. You can try that. He gave me a car. He gave me a house. And he can look at it and say, well, that sinner got a bigger house than you. He got a better car than you. He got more money than you. His clothes are better than yours. His kids better than yours. Better school than you, better job than you. So why do I need your Savior? You better come up with some things, some T-I-O-N things that he doesn't know about. When I say the T-I-O-N, like, that's some things that he's put on imputation, reconciliation, redemption, glorification, all those words that, you know what, that you have.
And to me, what, like, you know, especially when I got baptized, I was always, you know, at a young age raised, like, in this Church of Christ. And, you know, they had always kind of give you that feeling where we went, where it's like when you get the calling to be baptized. It's like, I believed, but it's like I never got this special magical feeling, you know, like someone was talking to me saying, you know, like, you need to do it. And after I kind of got over that later in life, you know, like when I got baptized, it's like, besides just being happy that I finally did the ritual, you know, going under the water and, you know, making it official, you know, it's like you don't necessarily just feel like too much different besides happy, because you do feel closer. It's like, like you said, the gifts come later, the more you know, and the more, you know. The only thing I got technically leaving the place was, you know, the handkerchief.
Handkerchief.
That they put over your face when they dunk you. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, to me a lot of that just comes later. And everybody's different. I mean, you know, the more you know going into it probably, or more you, you know, it's just...
Oh, I mean...
Like a personal relationship. It's like...
Yeah, it develops. Well, and the thing is you can go through the act,
mm-hmm.
where I thought you were going to say the only thing I got was wet. I thought you were going to say.
I believed all the right reasons. It's just one of those things where it's like you just, there's a part of me that felt like if you didn't go through the, you know, the actual act, you know, you're not really baptized, even though I knew that, you know, kind of switching from, I guess, Church of Christ to Baptist. You know, that belief, you know, like Church of Christ believed if you were about to go to get baptized and you got struck by lightning, oh, it didn't work. So it's like, you know, there's just those little different little things that being raised, it kind of, you know, you have to kind of, the more you learn, like you said, the more you realize how things actually work versus the...
And what Blake said is that's one of the things where, like this, where I talked to a lady before, and this was in Detroit, and she was sincere, very sincere believer, but her knowledge was limited, and we would talk about certain things, and I just, you know what, she would make statements, and she had really bad back problems, like it would put her, she would be home for days with back problems, and she always believed in healing. She would say, you know, she said, you need to be baptized. When she found out I had never been baptized, she said, I'm praying for you that you get baptized. Yeah. You have to be baptized, Frank. She said, Frankie. She called me Frankie. And she was almost in tears. She's like, you have to be baptized. She says, I'm afraid that you are not saved. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I said, Judy.
Yeah,
I said, Judy. I said, let me tell you. I said, I could get baptized in the Detroit River. All the water that you can come up with. I said, that would not change my relationship with God one iota. It wouldn't make me any closer if I got in that water than I am right now. Mm-hmm. And she's, how could you say that? Because she's, you know what? She's going back to something, to another gospel, and trying to put it on us. And I said, let me ask you this, Judy. You're a very sincere believer. She, yeah, I am. And I said, you've been praying. How long you been praying for your back? And she said, well, you know what she said? She used one. She said, well, in God's time, he'll do it. And if he doesn't, that just means he's got something else planned for me. Yeah, it's called death.
Yeah, your back will stop hurting.
That's. But, and the only reason I say it is because information, to borrow one from the Lord, he said this, the truth will make you free.
Chiropractor would have helped her a lot.
You know what? She started going to the chiropractor.
Did she?
She sure did. But, it's nothing like the truth of God to be able to open that up and have no other agenda but to find out what he's doing.
Absolutely.
And just fall in line with
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go, you know what? I can go to any one of these places, and when I go in there, I know that, like, they're going in there, and they give me the little booklet, and they try to squeeze all that stuff in there and make it fit with them. I sit there and I say, Lord, thank you that I have the understanding that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you that I can look at that word and know that I can embrace your truth for me today. And when I can tell them, I can say, listen, guys, I said, that's what you're reading was written to some other people at another time for them.
Yeah.
Here's where you find your information today.
And not because Frank says it, but the Word of God says it.
And you know what? You can say that, and they're like, but
well,
you know what? They go right back to it.
It's because pride is the great
so,
killer.
And you know what? But I think it's also is growth. Well, you know what? Just learn to believe God. Just you got the book right there. To believe His word is when you read it. And Paul says, "Who was that?" Said, Angie the other day. She was reading in Romans, where Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he says, "Paul, an apostle of God, separated unto the gospel of God." She said, "You know what?" She said, Mike came in there and showed her. He says, look at that. How long they've been here?
Oh, good luck.
And to see that, to read that verse, one verse out of one book, to every book he's saying who he is. And they read that one verse and said, Paul was separated. And they said, you know what? What does separated mean? How long you got to read that until you say, you know what? He was separated for something.
Yeah.
And he said, I was separated for the gospel of God. Now, we've been telling you all along, Paul's your apostle. God separated Paul, gave him a new revelation for you. Just him. But you know what? Just one day, you read that and say, Paul was separated. Wow. Just think if you never read the verse. And somebody can tell you over and over again, Paul's your apostle. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was separated with a mystery gospel. Like he told Corinthians, he says, I am your apostle. If not to anybody else, no doubt for you. You believe my message. He says, I have the wisdom of God. I speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. You can read over and over, 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 over until you look at that and it says, you know what? That's God's man to me. And that's when the confusion starts to dispel. Because you're believing now, not what everybody else says, but what God is saying to you. And then you don't have to twist it. You know, you don't have to twist the results. You don't have to make excuses for why things aren't happening. You can just trust God and says, you know what? This is why. You want to know why? This is why. You can go right to the verse and say, this is why. Right here. I'll say this. We're going to stop. Man, we're going to stop right here. A guy called me the other day. He called me the other day and he said, what was that? This is Tuesday. He called me Sunday. Saturday. He called me Saturday. And he said, let me ask you something, Frank. He says, I know you know this. He says, what does God say about Christian divorce? And I was like, what do you mean? Believers be getting divorced.
I know.
And I said, what do you, and I know him. I said, ask me what you want
to
ask me.
What are you trying to say?
Like, do you want to get a divorce, or do you know somebody who's getting a divorce, or what is your, and so he said, yeah, I do. I know somebody they're both of them are believers, and you know they're talking about getting divorced. I said, okay, what do you want to know? He said, is that a sin? I said, are you asking me if God is pleased with that? No, of course not. And he says, well, what do you say about that? I said, if they can't work it out, then whatever they decide to do, that's what they decide to do. And he said, I can't believe. I said, listen, you asked me. Let me ask you this. If we were married and you said, I don't want to live with you anymore, could I make you stay?
No.
If you divorce me, what could I do?
Get out.
Get out, right. What do you think God would do to me?
Nothing.
What would he do to you?
Nothing.
See, people don't believe that.
No.
And I said, would he be pleased with it? Of course not. Would he be pleased? Of course not. But if you're saved by grace, then you're saved by grace. That's no different from me. What if you stayed with me and I beat you like a rag? How would you feel about that? You think God would be, oh, they stayed together.
Yeah, right,
that's it. And I did nothing to on a husband level at all.
But if you start cheating on her, you're going to be sinning.
I'm sinning when I hit her in the head.
Well, that's a different sin.
No, it's not. That's a different sin to you.
It's still a sin. Well, what's funny is like when people bring up stuff about like the Old Testament, like, well, if they, you know, if they cheated, well, they were stoned to death, so you're automatically a widow.
So, right.
I mean, it's, you know, it's not like it is nowadays where it's like, you know, someone cheats and you're just separated. It's like you were dead if you.
And that's, you know what? But. Anyway, I just said that because you know what? It's some things where people want you to say things that don't line up with Scripture. He said, look, I can't. Paul said this. He said, now listen, if a believer and an unbeliever, or even a believer, he said, if she wants to separate, she can separate. But he said this, but. If she depart, but and if, which means she might and she could, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. So now, hey, you want to leave? You have grounds to leave if you want to leave. But he says this, you go over here and you don't have to stay unmarried.
And a lot of country songs written about that.
So, listen, stay unmarried. What does that mean? He didn't say go over here and stay married. He said go over here and stay what?
Unmarried,
which means what?
You're by yourself. You're married to the Lord.
Listen, that's true. He says, if she depart, let her remain unmarried. What does that mean?
She's not married.
She's not married, which means what?
You're free.
I'm trying to get you to. I'm trying to get you to say the word. It says.
Well, then you're not doing a very good job.
He's unmarried too.
What does unmarried means? Mean. If I was married and I.
Well, it says still, I always take it like when it says staying married.
Let me stop.
You're not staying married for the rest of your. You know.
We're gonna pick up in Corinthians next week.